Happy Sabbath. I am blessed to be up here in front of you. It's been, I don't know how long. Every Sabbath when I was in North Dakota, I was like, oh, I wish I could be in Bakersfield. You know, praising God with my family, with my brothers in church, and every Sabbath that I'm here, I'm rejoicing. Praise God for that. And, this Sabbath, I mean, today and the next Sabbath is going to be a special Sabbath for all of those that have, you know, kids in high school, junior high, and stuff like that. Yesterday, I was blessed with the graduation of my two kids that are here in Bakersfield, Leslie and Merrill. Leslie graduated from junior high, and Merrill graduated from high school at the Fox Theater. So I'm sure, you know, there's more families that are also enjoying that blessing. The King family also, I know. Where's Isaac? Right there. All right. Congratulations, Isaac. Somebody else that graduated? Who? Sister, of course, Flora, where is she and her kids? And this, all right, nice seeing you guys here, okay? Isaac, and God bless you. And also, somebody else? No one else? Back there? All right. Well, anyway, when I was asked if I could preach, I was like, of course, I can preach. I preached too many times. But I have not preached too many times in my own tongue, you know, in Spanish. I mean, I have never preached in a tongue that is not my mother tongue, which is English. I have preached too many times in Spanish. And I was like, what can I preach that have not been preached yet? And the answer to that, my question is, nothing. Everything has been preached already. But what I can share is what the Lord has taught me in things that I have come across, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. Now, the teachers of preaching, they say that when you're going to preach, you tell them what you're going to say, and then you say what you told them you were going to say. And at the end, you remember them, what you told them that you were going to say. Okay? So, what was our Bible text? It's an easy one. Come on. He must become greater or increase, and I must decrease or become less. Can we see it on the screen? There you go. And that is in John 3:30. Okay? The next one, please. Now, going through some stories, I came across with this beautiful story. Anyone can identify this guy over there? It always happened. The next one, that's the same person, but older. Anyone yet? No one else but Sir Arthur Stanley Eddington. Now, who in the world is Arthur Stanley Eddington? The name doesn't ring a bell. But how about the next guy? Oh, well. Here are some of the things that he have done, throughout his life. No, he was awarded the Smith Prize. Next one, please. Just go through all of them. Bruce Medal of Astronomical Society of the Pacific, Henry Dropper Medal of the National Academy of Science, Gold Medal of the Royal Astronomical Society, a French prize, the Prix Jules Janssen from French Astronomical Society, Royal Medal of the Royal Society. He was declared knight. He was knighted by the Queen of England. And he was honored Freeman of Kandel, and I think he's missing one. We're missing one. He was received the, you know, the Order of the Merit. Now, even though he got all his titles and you know, prizes and everything, he still is an unknown person for us, isn't it? Okay, but how about the next one, the next guy? And the next one, please. The same guy. Who is him? It always happened. We recognize that heritage immediately. Okay? No one else but Dr. Albert Einstein. Next one. Now here they are, the two of them. Now, here's Arthur, and here's Albert. Dr. Albert Einstein and Arthur Eddington. These two guys became friends before the First World War. And this story, I hope I can say it, you know, it was so interesting to me, so interesting, that I learned a huge lesson. And I hope I won't bore you with, you know, this story. Now, Arthur, he was already a head, you know, member of the scientific society in England. And he started to read Einstein way before he, you know, was Einstein. The next one, please. Now they are two, when they were old, their friendship became so enclosed, one being a German and the other one being a British. On the First World War, those two nations were, and in the Second World to us as well. But, you know, they, when their heads of their departments learned that both of them, they were getting, you know, communication, they were warned and told them, you do not get in touch with, if they were talking to Arthur, they told him, you do not get in touch with Einstein. And to Albert, they told him, you do not get in touch with Eddington. Or you will be declared enemy of the country, enemy of the state. But in secret, they still, you know, got in touch, because they were not caring, they didn't care about politics. They cared only about science. And so they kept, you know, mail back and forth. Next one, please. Now, Eddington, he was, being a British, he was from the religion Quakery. The British were proud of their heritage. For 300 years, Newton's laws were the last word on science. Okay? Can I have them? Everybody knows who's Isaac Newton, right? Now, he declared, or he came up with three laws. The next one, please. That rule the universe. He explained how the objects move. He calculated the you know, way of the planets around the sun, and calculated, you know, that they were not circle their way. It was an elliptic traveling of the planets. So he calculated everything. The next one, please. Now, the first law, I don't want to bore you about this. I'm going to go fast. The first law, it says that every object in state of uniform motion or at rest tends to remain in that same state unless it's given a what? Now, my daughter gave me a joke long time ago. She said, how do you make an egg roll? And I immediately thought of, well, you have a, you know, a little flour tortilla, and, you know, put some stuff there, you roll it and fry it. She said, no, you give it a push, she said. You make a neck roll. So anyway, The relation between an object and mass, you know, that's another law of Isaac. That we can talk about this later. The next one. For every action, there is a what? An equal reaction. And this can be explained if you're like in a boat, in the water, and you want to move towards the shore. If you give a step, obviously you will fall into the water, but the same impulse that you move forward, the boat will go backwards. And so they explain, these laws were the last. After Isaac, there was no one else that, thought about the universe and it came up with something else, something new. So for 300 years, the British, they were the last word in science. Okay? Next one, please. Einstein had the thought of maybe there's something else. And gravity was was not allowing him to sleep at night. So he said, gravity, the universe is like a sheet that if you put a weight on it, it'll deform that, sheet, that is extended. And so that's one of the ways that, it was explained. So let's say this is space, and because the mass has weight, it deforms what it's around it. And that's one way of explaining gravity for Einstein, but there was no way to explain that. The next one, please. Now, Carl Sagan, he's an atheist, by the way. He said something that it's used in science. If you're gonna say something extraordinary, you need extraordinary evidence to prove what you're saying. So the next one, please. Now, Eddington had understood, having this, mail back and forth with Albert, he came with an interesting way to prove him right. So he, in advance, calculated the traveling of the moon and the sun and predicted, I don't know how many years, 3 or 4 years, the route where the shade of a solar eclipse was going to travel. So he presented his project to the scientific society in England. And they didn't like it. How a British scientist is going to prove a German who was an enemy is going to prove him right? We don't like that, they say. And so he said, let's think for a moment, he said. If he is wrong, us, the British, we're going to prove him wrong. But if he's right, us, the British, are going to prove him right. So it's a win-win situation for us. So he convinced him at the end. So he gathered money, gathered all the most advanced equipment. He got some telescopes. He got some plaques to make, to take photo, photographs and stuff like that. He took 30. And at the end, he only, was able to use 8 because the rest were damaged because of light. So anyway, so he covered himself. He was going to go to the island of Prince, near the coast of Equatorial Guinea. And there's another team in Brazil doing the same thing that he was going to do. They were going to follow the eclipse, and take pictures of it. The next one, please. So here's the equipment. Huge telescope. Here's the mirror that was going to look up, to the sun, or, that was going to be eclipsed. And so at the end over here, he was going to be taking pictures. Okay, next one, please. And this happened in May 1919, by the way. So at the end, he made his report. Now, this is the traveling of the eclipse in Africa, I mean in Brazil and in Africa. So he took as many pictures as he could. First, he took pictures of the sky at night when there was no sun and no moon, to take pictures of the stars. And he was going to compare those stars with the same stars when the sun and the moon were, you know, lined up. So that's what that was his study, his investigation. He was going to compare the stars. So the next one, please. So here they are. The closer the stars to the sun, more space between them. The farther they were closer. So that's the way Arthur Eddington proved that light is bent when it's passed by a planet, or in this case, the sun. And so the next one, please. So this is a way of explaining it. This is the sun. Here's the Earth. And what they were seeing is this star over here. But in reality, the star was in this position. And so the gravity around the sun bent the light. And so the next one, please. Next one, please. Yeah, next one, please. There you go. So this is a drawing of the same observation. So when he presented that to the scientific community, guess what happened? Next one, please. Oh, this is a commercial. You know, when you're seeing a program, there's a commercial. Well, this is a commercial. We'll go back later to our regular program. This is the theory of relativity explained by some people that I understand. Let's say these two twins, I mean, this guy has the same hair as this one. They're twins. One is going to travel in space and one is going to stay here. So let's say he traveled into a near galaxy. And for him, time, let's say, it's a week. And when he comes back, his twin, his brother twin, is old, but he's still the same age. So the way to explain is time outside of Earth is not the same. Same. That's why the Bible says to God, a day is like what? 1,000 years. And for us, it's 1,000 years. Okay? Next one, please. Now, regarding speed, let's say Fernando Valenzuela, I don't know, he's too old now. He's on gonna pitch from a car, from a pickup. His pitch is at 90 miles per hour. The pickup is traveling at 50 miles per hour. The pitch, the ball is gonna travel not at 90 miles per hour, but 140, because 50 plus 90 equals 40. So this is the relativity, the theory of relativity explained in speed. I don't want to lose you, but I mean, this is what happened. You know, when a train, when somebody's, you know, traveling in a train, the person in the train is not moving. He's seated. But the person is moving to point A to B because he or she is in the train, although he or she is not moving, okay? So anyway, next one, please. Now, this is the weight concept, okay? The space is a wrap time. I don't know if you can see this, but the planets, they have weight, so it affects the gravity around them. Even though its gravity is weightless, no, they affect the gravity around the planet. Thank you. Next one. Now, in the Bible, remember, this is a commercial, okay? A long commercial. The concept of relativity It's been there a long time ago. And we find it in the illustration that Jesus gave to his disciples. When he made the remarks of a willow, she was giving two mites in the offerings. And Jesus asked his disciples, who is giving more? Remember? What did Jesus say? The other ones are giving of what is left, but she gave all. So I found that there and was like, wow, praise the Lord for that. Einstein is not so wise after all. Next one. In the parable of the, you know, laborers at the vine, you know, vineyard, regarding time, also, you know, we all know this parable. You know, there was the owner of the vineyard, you know, standing at the plaza or the, you know, marketplace, and he saw two people that were, you know, looking for a job, and he, you know, approached to him and to them and said, would you like to work? And they said, yeah, and okay, would you like to work for, I don't know, you know, I don't remember the amount, one denar or, you know, a denario, I don't remember, or two denarios. And they agreed for that. So they went to work in the vineyard. And again, like at noontime, you know, the owner of the vineyard went out and needed some more works and approached people that were not, you know, doing anything, looking for a job. And would you like to work? And they say, yeah. And so on and so forth until like 2 or 3 hours before the day was ending. And at the end of the day, you know, he started to pay, and the ones that started received the payment were the ones that were paid at the end. And so the ones that were hired at the beginning saw what they were going to, you know, they were receiving. They started making, you know, numbers and said, oh, if they got paid for like 2 hours, imagine us that we've been working for like 10 hours. And so, oh, man, we're going to make big bucks here. So we know the story, you know, they got disappointed, and that teaches a lesson of no matter when we are called to serve the Lord, our reward is going to be the same. So again, we see the relativity theory there again. Thank you. Next one. And of course, the parable of the, you know, prodigal son and the father. No matter how far you are, or have been, or have gone, the Lord, the Father, is waiting for you. No matter how ugly your sins are, no matter if you have sold your soul to the devil, the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient. Sufficient. To accept you and forgive you all your sins. Amen? Amen. Next one, please. So there you go. Now let's go back to our regular program. These two guys, Albert Einstein and Arthur Eddington, changed the way people thought about the universe. But Arthur knew, next one, please. Arthur knew that he, throughout the history, is not the one that was going to be famous. It was going to be Albert Einstein. He immediately became a rock star in the world of science. And Eddington, less and less, in a way that when I put his picture up there, no one knew who he was. And up to this day, nobody cares who he was. Next one, please. In the Bible, there's a similar story. John the Baptist was a huge character in the time of Jesus Christ. He called the attention of everybody. Next one, please. He had people with money following him. He had soldiers following him. And people had hopes for him that he would probably was going to be the Messiah's son. So I made a short list. Go ahead for it, please. Of similitudes of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. He was born, his born was announced by the angel Gabriel. His name was announced by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel announced his child's mission. John was circumcised. You know, John the Baptist was circumcised the eighth day. Next one, please. A prophecy was spoken when he was born. He was filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born, you know, even from the womb, mother's womb. And the Bible, mentioned, ends the story of John the Baptist's birth. Mentioned, same as our Jesus Christ, the Savior, was announced by, the angel Gabriel. His name was announced. He was announced his mission. Same day, the eighth day was circumcised. A prophecy was spoken when he was, born by Mary, his mother. And he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Over here, the Holy Spirit was in him, from the very, he was not even born. And Jesus' birth story conclusion also is mentioned in the Bible. Next one, please. And so this took me a lot of time to find the similitudes, And I don't want to bore you about this. But I told the pastor it was going to be only 40 minutes. And so I'm over now. But anyway, John the Baptist was a Nazarite. A Nazarite was the one that makes a vow of consecration to the Lord. Jesus Christ was a Nazarene, a person that was from Nazareth, okay? He was a leader, had followers, same as Jesus. He was called rabbi as Jesus. He was called prophet like Jesus. He was arrested by Herod. He was arrested under Herod leadership, and John the Baptist was killed by Herod, and Jesus Christ was killed by Herod's leadership. And Jesus talked about John the Baptist. And same as Jesus talked about John the Baptist, and John talked about Jesus Christ. And so John the Baptist knew what his role was. Even people approached to him and asked him, "Are you the Messiah? Who are you? Give us an answer so we can go and give a report about you." And he said, "I only what? The voice. I'm not even the message. I'm the voice. I'm the noise that it's pointing you to the real person." He never doubted about his mission. Next one, please. And there was a time in John 3 when the disciples of John the Baptist and the disciples of Jesus Christ, they were like baptizing in the same area. And the disciples of John the Baptist approached John the Baptist and said, "Look, the one that you mentioned, he's baptizing and he's making more followers. And all our people are following him. Even two of our, of your disciples have left us and they're following Jesus." And that's when he said the words that we mentioned at the beginning. What are the words? "He must increase. He must become greater. And I must become less. I need to decrease." And so when the disciples of John the Baptist, I don't know if they understood that. But soon after, he was arrested, sent to jail, and his disciples, the most faithful, still were, serving him. I didn't know this, but John the Baptist is an important person for the Muslims. He approached, it's said in the Quran that in his traveling of Muhammad, John the Baptist, you know, talked to him. So anyway, that's another commercial. John the Baptist was a great personality in his time, but he knew what his mission was. It was written long time before in Isaiah that he was going to clear the path. He was going to bring whatever was high, he was going to bring it to a level. Whatever was, you know, down, he was going to bring it to a level. So the one that was coming behind him shouldn't be a problem for him. Now, in the Bible, it is mentioned that the spirit of Elias? I know in Spanish it's easy for me. Elias. So Elias. Elisha is Eliseo, isn't it? Elisha is Eliseo. So the spirit of Elias was going to come. And he was referring to John the Baptist. And so, so they get ahead of me. So here's the lesson for us. And I would like to ask our music department, if we can sing, I don't know, can you see those? First, those words? It's in our hymnal. It's hymn 245, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And I would like to invite you to sing only the first two verses. 246, 245. More about Jesus. Do we have him? 245 in our hymnals? Okay. More about Jesus I will know. More about him. So more. More of his love. Keep singing. Next one, please. It's not over yet. Almost there. Next one, please. Now, does anybody know who this guy is? Who? Telesabalas. There you go. Kojak. Now, I don't know if you can read up there, but it says Greek actor Telesabalas embarrassed. Royalty embarrassment in flight. This was published in January 10, 1973 in Long Beach by this newspaper. Now this is, when I learned this, I was like, wow, how fool. He tells the story in this article, okay? He says that he was traveling to Europe back in the days when he was famous. And he was traveling in the first class. And, well, he was full of himself. And a very kind person approached to him and said, Telly Savalas. Whoa, what an honor. And he started to, you know, get a conversation with him. And he was like, yeah. Please, I don't want to bother you, but man, what an honor. Would you, you know, I don't know if he would have a cell phone. Let me take a selfie with you, you know. Could you write down something for my kid and my daughter, please? You know, we're such a big fan of you. And he was like, no, please don't bother me. And, you know, the flight, you know, took off. They were traveling, and they were about to land to wherever they were going to land. And once again, this, you know, well-educated, well-distinguished personality came up to him, approached to him, and said, Telly, please, I want to, you know, tell my family that I was with you. Could you, you know, give me your autograph? And so he was, you know, again, full of himself, so he ignored him. And so the flight landed somewhere. They had to deviate, you know, the airplane. And the pilot grabbed the mic and said, ladies and gentlemen, we apologize because we have landed, you know, somewhere else, but we had a very distinguished person among us. And Telly Savalas, oh, there they go again. Man, I cannot be left alone. And so they said, you know, when he looked at the window, there was this band, you know, music band, you know, line up, and a carpet rolled, and the pilot said, we have the king of Greece among us. And he had to, you know, get off the plane, so we apologize for that. And when they said, when the pilot said, the king of Greece is among us, immediately, this person that was approaching to him, Telly Savalas, I want to be with you. I want to talk to you. Give me your autograph. He got up, stood up, and left the plane. And Telly was like, what? What king has ever approached to you and said, I want to be your friend. Talk to me. No one else but the King of Kings. Next one, please. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him or her and eat with him and he with me. The next one, please. Let our answer to the previous verse be this one here. The two disciples on the way of Emmaus, when they were talking to this stranger, the night approached, it was late. And the Bible said that they urge him strongly. They urge him, please don't pass me by. Stay with us. For I am tired of living the way I am. Be you greater than me. And make me less in your hands. May the Lord bless us. Thank you.